It's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips is going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Now, here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, goodness gracious. You missed it by that much. The Great Clips postgame show is presented by Tullamore Dew. And gentlemen, the Bears find a way to lose a sure win for the third time this season. They did everything right defensively, but right up to the end of the game, and they saw their 17-7 lead turn into a 2017 defeat. And you got Denver, you lost that game. You got the first game against Detroit, and you found a way to lose that. This might have been the worst one. I mean, it's hard to judge what the worst one was, but This was awful. Just got awful.
Well, the worst because of how many guys Cleveland had out, right? And then Batonio, their other guard, goes out too. It's a game you should win with the way the defense played football today. Obviously, that late touchdown, Brisker, we want him to get him on the ground there, right? We're asking for everything, right? We're in the defense, do everything. But the Bears get kind of what they want, Pat. I mean, I'm talking about the decision makers. We got the ball in Justin Fields' hands. And then, you can question so many things, right? You can question the play calling. Mooney, again, at the end of the game, you can question, he's got to make that play. Is it Justin Fields? Is it not? At some point, man, we got our answers if you keep asking the same damn questions.
Yeah, it's just aggravating, guys. I mean, you give up 13 points in the fourth quarter after dominating them the entire game. You were thinking the defense would just put it away, right, with all those guys out up front. Montez Sweat was dominating all day. They gave up big plays, and that hurt them, the two big plays in the fourth quarter. Offensively, the fourth and one, the third and one, they don't convert. That keeps the chains going. That shortens the game. Luke Getsy calling passes on second and seven, I think. Another second down in the fourth quarter when you could shorten the game when you're up seven. Just limit the opportunities for them to score, knowing your defense is dominating. It's just really aggravating. And, Tyler Scott dropping that first pass, but then making up for it for the nice run. But, again, that's a play that should be made to help Justin Fields in this offense. You don't have to worry about that other one. You don't know what happens after that. And it's just unfortunate because, we said who's hot and who's cold. And Darnell Mooney was the focus this week about his contract and – it seems like that's just the way it goes for some players, and sometimes they're the hot topic for that week, and you're talking about them, and you're hoping for the best, has an opportunity to convert that, and doesn't, and it's just deflating because, that whole game was the defense was dominating, and I think I texted you guys in the thread that we need the defense to score here, and that's the way it felt,
right?
And then they could not figure out a way to win the game, players wise and coaches wise, and that's on everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, Mully and Pat, right? And I know what Pat is saying. When you're watching it, there's like two things going on with this whole Bears season, right? It's like, yeah, I want the defense to win it, but then I don't, right? I don't want the defense to win it. And I'm not like, I want the ball in Justin Fields' hand at the end of the game. Yeah. I want to see if he'll make the play against the number one defense that has two safeties out. And can we move the ball down the field? And like you're talking about, Pat, on fourth and one. I know that's earlier in the game, but we got to make that play.
Yes.
You decide to keep it. I don't. There's one of the rare, it didn't work play calls that I like that Getsy made. Right. I didn't think it was a bad play call, right? I thought DJ Moore might have even been open, releasing it to the corner route.
That's Mooney again, right? That's Mooney that missed the block, that didn't get his guy.
It's Cameron Mitchell. I mean, you got to keep your feet there, right?
Yes.
You got to keep your feet. You got to go get a first down. Like we talk about Pat and Mully.
Yep.
Listen. Mooney's not going to be here. We talked about that on pregame, right? We talked about that.
Yeah.
But when you get better, it's not going to be Darnell Mooney as your second wide receiver, right?
Right.
I want Justin Fields to make that play. I'm glad he kept the ball. I'm glad he tried to run it. Now I want him to keep his feet and run for 10, 15, 20 more yards. And I know that's asking a lot, but that's what I want to. That's what I want my guy to do. I'm going to give $40 million a year to if I make that decision to pass on the number one pick of the draft.
Yep.
Oh, God. I mean, I got to tell you, this was like a loss on a loss on a loss, right? Mm-hmm. Because all the things that we talk about, everyone's future and the feel good and the bit of swagger, I mean, How do you retain a coach that opens the season 0-4, that didn't look like he prepared his team to play in the game, in the season, and then loses three games in the year where you're ahead and all you got to do is finish, mm-hmm. and you can't get that done? I mean, that's a really bad loss. Another one for Matt Eberflus. And I thought that we had decided that, oh, he's doing so great, he's got to remain the defensive coordinator and blah, blah, blah. And we don't see a thing out of that offense. There's very little production out of the offense. When you really pick apart how that game went, the Bears' offense benefited from a couple interceptions, one that scored, one that went down on the one-yard line. And that whole sequence, one of the most – I believe there were eight plays, four penalties. The four-play, two-yard drive, I think we could talk about that for the rest of our lives. It was so insane.
Yeah, this is a game, too, guys. The script was rewritten. Like, in the middle of the third quarter, I'm writing in my head, like, oh, my gosh, look how good Eberflus is doing with his defense. They're doing what they're supposed to do against a banged-up offensive line. Just absolutely rattling Joe Flacco, covering the, you know, Amari Cooper. And then everything just changes. And it's just, you know, the offense was what it was. I'm a lot of disappointed with what they did against that Cleveland defense with all the injuries, with Delpit out. Yes, they have a good front seven or front three they had in there, but I don't understand how you can't game plan better to protect Justin Fields or move the ball and gain more yards. It's just, you know, I thought it was going to be a game where, all right, we won ugly, defense dominated, did what they had to do, we'll move on. Again, Pat Eberflus on the back for building his good defense and having a good game plan, but it didn't turn out that way. He couldn't finish in the fourth quarter and the two big plays against him. And, yeah, it's something that, you know, we were talking, did Eberflus start changing people's minds to keep his job or not? This is one that swings you right back the other way. It does to me a little bit. Maybe it's just a quick reaction to a tough loss. But, you know, this is three games that should have been won and put away that changes this whole, you know, this whole season too. And it's unfortunate they didn't get it done. But, again, that's just bad resume building on his part.
Yeah, and it's a good point by you and Molly, Pat, because like you're saying, we all went into here because we knew all the questions and we wanted them to answer the questions, right? We said mm-hmm. that on the pregame show. It was an interesting game to watch. Finally, we had one in 3 years, and you wanted to see put all those skeletons out of the way and put them back in the closet and leave them there, right? But they all showed up again, right? They showed up again, yep. And Eberflus late in the game, like you're talking about, you know, Malik brought up the Lions game, you know, the blown coverage. They score yep. fast. Happens again, right? Like, yep. And then we don't get Amari Cooper on the ground, and he scores a touchdown. You just can't believe it. It's 17-17, and next thing you know, gets his calling a toss crack on first down, right? He's calling a toss crack on first down, and they lose 5 yards. Cole Kmet misses the block on the best defensive end in the world, and he makes a big play there. And the next thing you know, it's 3rd and 15. And what do you run on a 3rd and 15? And I don't know. I don't know what you run. So now you only get to see Justin Fields work in that situation, mm-hmm. right? I wanted the ball again. If I am Ryan Poles, Molly and Pat, I am pissed off, man. I really am pissed off in one of those sweet boxes that I'm sitting in, because with that play right there, when you get the ball back at that time, and then I see a toss crack. No. Fake the toss crack and boot Justin Fields out of the pocket. I mean, damn it. If they can do it with Joe Flacco, right? If they can fake the toss with Joe Flacco and boot him, why can't we at that moment, right? I want to see my quarterback, Justin Fields, out of the pocket, on the run, making plays. That's what I mm-hmm. want to see. Instead, we got a toss crack to Khalil Herbert, and we lose 5 yards, and now we're behind the sticks. And we all know what this offense does when they're behind the sticks. And the answer is nothing. They don't do yeah. nothing.
Right.
Yeah, I got to tell you, yeah, that is that was just a very that there were so many good moments in that game for the Bears.
Yeah,
there were so many really good moments with that defense. You know, I had a whole thing. I couldn't wait to talk to you guys about Montez Sweat and whether mm-hmm. you know he blew it by signing a contract as quick as he did, because he's worth more than we thought as you watch him play. And I wanted to ask you. If because he played with one of four number one picks on a line. Was he underrated when they got him? Because their coaches thought he was like the best guy going, and they make a trade for him. Well, and now, you know, they pay him, and the guy's making plays all over, and it just looks the part. And damn if they don't figure out a way to kind of – and you could feel it coming, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Couldn't you feel it building the same yes. way we've seen these teams lose – this team lose earlier in the year? It was really embittering.
And to talk about Montez Sweat, you know, I was thinking the same thing that, okay, you gave $98 million, and he's doing what he's supposed to do. That's why you pay a guy that amount of money. And he had a hell of a game. I'm not saying we lost the game because of him. You just wish they could have closed it with that performance he put on, because he's going against a backup tackle, changing the game, what had three sacks or whatever, you know, just making a big, big impact on this game. And I just kept thinking, that's why you pay a game changer right there. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's going to win this ugly game for us. And unfortunately, the offense and in the fourth quarter with the defense, they couldn't come through at the end. But, you know, he had a hell of a game. And I too, Mully, I could not wait to talk about him and just the impact he has on this team, and it's just unfortunate they couldn't come through with it.
Yeah, and a question they're going to have to answer again, too, is I don't think, guys, and I got to look back on the film, I don't think he was on the field for that touchdown to Amari Cooper. I got to take another look there. Ugh. But like you guys are saying, he is dominating, right? He is yes. dominating. I got to look at James Hutson III, and then Petonio goes out, and some guy named Michael Dunn is in, and Nick Harris. They are struggling with Billings and Justin Jones there in the middle. And it's just you're waiting for – we need a play, right? We need one play from somebody to put this game away. Like you guys are saying, when that play wouldn't come, and they just kept hanging around, right? They just – we go for it on fourth down, and we talked about earlier, and Justin Field gets tackled by Mitchell, right? He gets tackled on the Cleveland 33-yard line. He gets tackled right there, and we don't get that first down. You know, you could say that could put the game away, right? And then they get 3 yards on that drive. There's just so many things happening in that game. Like you're saying, Mully, where you got this feeling like, oh, it's going to be 17-17, right? It's going to be tied. Yep. It's going to be 20-17. And, you know, of course, I'm happy because I want to be right about the 24-20 scorecard. I mean, right? I want Justin Fields to lead and score a touchdown. And you know, but it's just there's 30 seconds left. And then it's Mooney again. It's just over and over again. And it's just too bad because a lot of the questions were there to be answered. And we just saw more of the same.
It's just beyond frustrating.
It hurts like that.
Yeah. It's just...
Tevin Jenkins goes down again, right? Same story.
Yeah.
More of the same story, right? You know, there's a saying in the NFL, Pat, right? An old saying in our locker room we should always say, once somebody shows you who they are, believe them.
Right.
It's hard to change, right? It's hard to change. Once a team shows you they lose late in the game, believe them, right? Once a guy shows you he can't play every game, believe them.
I'm curious as we look at this, you know, we feel like they've kind of made their decisions, or maybe they felt like they had their answers in line, whatever. This is, you've got to kind of redetermine exactly what you want and how you're going to go and what you're going to do. So I just feel like we had a lot of answers, or seemingly so. And we had a team that was on a roll, and we were talking about making that game in Green Bay. Green Bay's losing. I don't know if they finally lost or not, but I saw earlier they were losing pretty good. It's just such a wasted opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And when you watch it, it's like T.J. Edwards, right? Like, what a game he played.
Oh.
I mean, Mully, they're in the soft coverage everyone talks about, right? Everyone talks about that cover two is a soft coverage. They hit Cedric Tillman in the middle of the field. I think it was a start in the second half. And T.J. Edwards blows him up, right? Blows him up. Tremaine Edmonds, interception. He's all over the field, dropping the hammer on guys. That defense was ferocious most of the game today. I mean, obviously, you know, Justin Jones in coverage versus Njoku, that'll be questioned. But Eberflus is being aggressive. He's throwing that zone blitz, dropping a D tackle out into coverage, and all of a sudden he's, you know, it's Njoku across the field, and Flacco reads it and makes the perfect play to end the game. But there's just so much there when we needed the offense just to make plays, assault the game away. We came out, you know, Tyler Scott on like jet sweeps, Velus Jones on toss cracks. That worked. We got a field goal.
Yeah, Tyler Scott. It's just another guy that obviously had a drop during the course of the game, and you look at it at the end there. I mean, you know, you got to catch the ball, and I get it. It's a big ask to request someone to be able to step up and get it done in the big moments. But you know, the ball comes your way, you got to make a play. You got very little choice other than to make the play. And you know, you look around that receiver room. Who do you trust? Who do you trust in that moment? And obviously the answer is DJ Moore, and DJ Moore made some big plays. He looked like he was limping around a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure how good DJ Moore was doing. So it is obviously a difficult one to kind of pick apart and to figure out. But what are you going to do? I think that when I look at this game and I talk about, you know, you cannot put enough on this game. This was such an important game in their season, because guess what? Now they can't have a winning season. And we knew that going in. And they got themselves to a point where you can win the game, and they couldn't figure out a way to close it. So, all right, we're going to get to all of your phone calls. 312-644-6767 is the number. We're going to talk about it. We're going to pick it apart, and we'll let you know when we hear what's going on in the locker room, when we hear what anyone has to say about it. At this point, I don't know if there's anything anyone can say that would make you feel better about where you're at. It is the post-game show, the Great Clips post-game show, presented by Tullamore Dew on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
We're back with more of the Great Clips post-game show. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, indeed, you're listening to the post-game show, which, of course, it's the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew. If you have any Tullamore Dew, you might want to crack it open, and not in a celebratory way. That was just god-awful, and we got a lot of people who want to check in, and we're going to get to the phone lines in just a second. But, guys, I think that, you know, as much as you want to sort of pretend that that everything is fine and that wasn't a big deal, you know, it is hard to win in the NFL, as we all know. You can't lose a game like that. You just can't. If you have the advantage, that comes down to coaching, and you got to coach your way out of it. Period. End of story.
That's a great point, Mully. I mean, it does come down to coaching, but players got to make plays as well. I mean, it's on both sides. But Luke Getsy in the fourth quarter, I want to go back and read through the play sheet to find out, you know, what calls he was calling at certain points, because you learn all the time, just shorten the game, right? Just learn how to shorten the game. And they had the opportunity to do that, and they allowed him to score 13 points in the fourth quarter, I think with 12:56 to go when they scored, whatever. But just too many points in the fourth quarter, we should not have been allowed with the way the defense was playing.
Yeah, and even in the first quarter with the rain and the way the elements seemed like they were, right, Pat? You were wondering about the play calling. There didn't seem to be a lot of movement of the pocket. I was a little worried just from the beginning when it was a deep play action pass to start the game. I think it was a DJ Moore. And it's kind of like, no matter what the elements are today, I'm going to call what's on my first 15.
Right.
Right. I'm just going to call. And, you know, Justin Fields comes out with gloves on. And I thought he handled it well in the first half. But especially that touchdown pass he had Cole Kmet on that. You were talking about that. For that, when they were from the 1 yard line after the interception, Mully was crazy, but then they end up with the touchdown. But it was just, you know, very, very, very frustrating to watch this game today. And for a while, it wasn't, right? But you have this feeling, because we watch them so much, we know what their identity is, right? We know what is about to happen, that they're going to get to this point of where, okay, we're going to let them back in the game, and then we're not going to make enough plays to win the game. And Mully, to your point, we all know what we're looking at, right? We all know what we're seeing, that they're just not, and Pat said, Mully said coaches, Pat, you said players, there's just not enough in that building. right? That is what we're saying here, right? Lions, Denver, we can't put the game away. Here we are again, week 15 against Cleveland that has, I don't know what the guy said, 26 to 30% of their salary cap not playing today, and we can't steal a win.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't even know if they'd have been stealing it, frankly. I mean, they opened the game strong enough. They played well enough to win the game. I just don't know if they know how to win a close game. And I think, Olin, when you said everything you want to see Justin Fields. And all we saw was a repeat of the three and outs. What did they have, 8 or 9 three and outs in that game? Pathetic.
Yeah, that was ugly. And to me, you know, the past 2 weeks here in Chicago, we were all excited, right? We felt like they were turning the corner. They beat Minnesota and come from behind. They put away Detroit, win by 15, don't let them back in the game. So I felt like during the first three quarters, I'm like, all right, they got this. They're going to do this in the fourth quarter. They're turning the corner as a team. They're learning how to finish. They're learning how to, you know, become a you know, like this young group is learning how to win. It did feel weird that it started to slip back into my mind that they're going to let him come back. This is going to be a Browns win. This is going to happen. And it did. And I thought for those 2 weeks, I started to feel a little bit different. Like maybe this young team was learning how to win and learning how to close a game. And it's just unfortunate they couldn't do it. They had the opportunities at the very end. Poor Darnell Mooney, that's going to crush him, right? I mean, that thing's in his pocket, and he should have won the game with that. But that would have been a different story to talk about. We just said, all right, a win's a win. They stole one there at the end, but it's just too bad this young team has not learned how to win consistently yet.
Yeah, and as far as the offense goes, we talked about going into the game what they look like against defenses like the Todd Bowles defense, Tampa Bay, the Flores defense from Minnesota, because we talk about them getting that win against Minnesota, but the score was 12-10, right? It wasn't like the offense had a good showing there. We talked about when they go against Spagnuolo. We talked about when they go against a defense with an aggressive, good coordinator, a good secondary, how the offense can't move the ball, can't get points, can't get in the end zone, and you want to see if they made those adjustments going against this kind of the number one defense in the NFL. And obviously the answer ends up being no, right? I mean, they did not do enough. They did not help the defense put the game away. Obviously, no one can argue that the defense, even though they give that big play, they give you a winning effort. Right, I mean, if they put you on a 1 yard line and score a touchdown, that's pretty damn good, right? That's a good performance by Davis. Montez Sweat did exactly what you need him to do against the fourth or fifth tackle they had out there. So just watching that game, and like you guys are saying, you feel comfortable watching it when it's 17-7, but then you don't see him get the fourth down, and then you don't see him, and then you see the Browns get a field goal, and then they go three and out, right? And you're just like, oh man. That big pass play where someone makes a mistake and we miss a few tackles is coming.
Yeah, and it did, I mean, basically, the offense basically only scored 3 points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They gave them on the 1 yard line. It took them 18 plays to get in. I mean, to me, that sums up how bad this offense was today. And Olin, you nailed it, man. You said, I want to see how this offense does and Luke Getsy and Justin Fields does against an aggressive style of defense, and they folded again. They could not get it done. I mean, to me, that's 3 points they put up. Yes, that's a great throw that Fields had in the corner of the end zone to commit. Mm-hmm. Athletic as heck, and, you know, I was like, okay, that's a check-the-box thing, right, when you're evaluating Justin Fields. It was pretty impressive, but the other stuff before that was a bunch of blech. You know what I mean? It was awful. I mean, it was just awful.
Yeah, all right, in the run game. Yep. Oh, go ahead, Molly. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, let's get to the phone lines, but make your Sounds point. Good.
No, I was just going to say the run game was not good enough today, right?
No,
the offensive line got beat up on the inside, and especially when Tevin Jenkins went out, they really struggled inside there against Dalvin Tomlinson and the inside of the Cleveland Browns defense with that get up the field action, that penetration. I thought they should have went to gap scheme a little bit more, but you know, just not good enough there to give them a little bit of room there on offense.
Nate Davis, that's two games running, I think, where he's kind of struggled a little bit.
Yes.
This game was different as far as it goes, where it was the run, which is his bread and butter, right? Well, that's where you start to worry. Like, against the Lions, you know, he was never really known for his pass pro. So when they line Aiden Hutchinson on them, even though he's got to make that play, I'm not shocked he gets beat. Today, I was a little bit shocked on short yardage and run situations, the penetration he was giving up.
All right, let's try Chris. Chris is in Evanston. Hi, Chris. Good morning or good afternoon.
What's going on, guys? You know, it seems like no matter what happens, for 3 years now, like you said, Olin, let's call it what it is. When someone shows you who they are, let's call them what they are. I'm tired of the excuses. I say it week after week. Oh, if the defense would have got four turnovers instead of three. Oh, if the coach would have called every single play right instead of guessing wrong, and the fourth down's not converted, and they should have kicked the field goal instead of going for it. Whatever it is, the biggest problem on this team is the quarterback. A-plus number one. Like you just said, we finally got to the point. The defense basically scored all your points today. A couple weeks ago, they got him four interceptions, and he got four field goals. But we're debating whether we have a franchise quarterback. All right, fire everybody and pay the guy. No, pay him $50 million because his price is going to go up. Because every week, oh, he's playing better. Oh, he's playing. No, he's done. He's very consistent in one thing, not being consistent at playing quarterback.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
You know, I think what's interesting about all of it is that he needs the play to break down to be at his best. And you think about that short yardage, that ridiculous short yardage sequence, that touchdown was spectacular. And that was great. And that was him, you know, the play breaks down and off he goes. And, you know, the fact that he can make that play is really special. The problem is that you can't make other plays, that you're not making kind of the obvious just the in-time, on-time play.
The game manager plays?
Yes. I know that sounds horrible, but if you're going to talk about winning via a complimentary football, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, and you want it all, right? If you're going to pay the young man 20, 40, whatever, the millions of dollars,
yes,
you want to see it all. And, Olin, you made the point earlier with Getsy later in the game, that's when he is his best, when he's on the move. And when plays break down, he's on the move, and that's his strength of his game. And why are you not doing that and putting the ball in Justin Fields' hands at the end of the game that way, knowing that's how he thrives? You've tried to force feed him to us in the pocket, you know, and doing that, it just does not work. And I'm just shocked that Getsy didn't do more of that at the end of the game and saying, okay, you win it with your arm or your legs. It's your turn. Let's go. And he didn't give it to him.
Yeah, and to Chris's point, right, like, yes, Justin Fields, we can all see the problems he has and the things he needs to work on, throwing the ball from the pocket, processing information, getting the ball out. He is playing better. He has improved. The ball did come out quicker sometimes today. But has he improved to the point of, you know, what people keep forgetting is that the question is not all that. The question is, has he improved to the point of where you don't take a quarterback first in the draft, right? Because you have that, you know, one or two pick. Now, listen, guys, all the talk this week, right? All the talk this week about Justin Fields returning. I think I heard Mully call it on the radio to the scene of the crime. Like, you know, really, like, that is what happened. His first start in Cleveland, right? And he was in the pocket and he was getting hit. And this, we went on and on with this. And what did you learn? And Justin Fields is doing a press conference on what he learned. And he learned he got sacked. We heard him say that. And Getsy's answering those questions. First play of the game, it's shotgun. It's fake run. It's seven-step drop. Take a shot. Darnell Wright gets beat by Za'Darius Smith. And guess who gets hit standing in the pocket?
Yeah.
Justin Fields.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. Like, someone has to explain that to me if I'm running the Bears.
Yep.
Right. Someone has to explain to me why that play, when I got to the stadium and it was raining and the field was wet, and this is what happened to this guy here when his first time back in Ohio, and all the things we went through this week. And I'm not taking the blame off of Justin Fields, but someone needs to explain to me why that was the play call.
And you know, the other thing is, there was a sequence there. There was a certain stretch of the game where he was knocking, he was hitting every pass. I mean, he was really throwing the ball well, and he wasn't getting catches on some of it for whatever reason. And I'm not, you know, blaming everyone, but he looked like he really had his game going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was rolling early. Yep, he sure was.
Well, and I wonder if how many of those hits got to him. All right, we will be right back. We're going to get to your phone calls. We're going to talk it through. It's a little bit depressing that you know you're now guaranteed of a losing season. And I don't know that this game was the determining factor. Certainly the first four games of the year pretty much put you in a hole when there were games you could have won. But it changes the outcome of the season. That's for damn sure. 312-644-6767. We will be right back on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew.
It's time for the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips is going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Now, here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, goodness gracious. You missed it by that much. The Great Clips postgame show is presented by Tullamore Dew. And gentlemen, the Bears find a way to lose a sure win for the third time this season. They did everything right defensively, but right up to the end of the game, and they saw their 17-7 lead turn into a 2017 defeat. And, you know, you got Denver, you lost that game. You got the first game against Detroit, and you found a way to lose that. This might have been the worst one. I mean, it's hard to judge what the worst one was, but This was awful. Just got awful.
Well, the worst because of how many guys Cleveland had out, right? And then Batonio, their other guard, goes out too. It's a game you should win with the way the defense played football today. Obviously, you know, that late touchdown, you know, Brisker, we want him to get him on the ground there, right? We're asking for everything, right? We're in the defense, do everything. But the Bears get kind of what they want, Pat. I mean, I'm talking about the decision makers. We got the ball in Justin Fields' hands, and then – you know, you can question so many things, right? You can question the play calling. Mooney, again, at the end of the game, you can question, he's got to make that play. Is it Justin Fields? Is it not? At some point, man, we got our answers if you keep asking the same damn questions.
Yeah, it's just aggravating, guys. I mean, you give up 13 points in the fourth quarter after dominating them the entire game. You were thinking the defense would just put it away, right, with all those guys out up front. Montez Sweat was dominating all day. They gave up big plays, and that hurt them, the two big plays in the fourth quarter. Offensively, the fourth and one, the third and one, they don't convert. That keeps the chains going. That shortens the game. Luke Getsy calling passes on second and seven. I think another second down in the fourth quarter when you could shorten the game when you're up seven. Just limit the opportunities for them to score, knowing your defense is dominating. It's just really aggravating. And, you know, Tyler Scott dropping that first pass, but then making up for it for the nice run. But, again, that's a play that should be made to help Justin Fields in this offense. You don't have to worry about that other one. You don't know what happens after that. And it's just unfortunate because, you know, we said who's hot and who's cold. And Darnell Mooney was the focus this week about his contract. And it seems like that's just the way it goes for some players. And sometimes, you know, they're the hot topic for that week. And you're talking about them and you're hoping for the best. Has an opportunity to convert that and doesn't. And it's just deflating because, you know, that whole game was the defense was dominating. And I think I texted you guys in the thread that we need the defense to score here, and that's the way it felt.
Right.
And then they could not figure out a way to win the game, players-wise and coaches-wise, and that's on everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, Mully and Pat, right, and I know what Pat is saying. When you're watching it, there's like two things going on with this whole Bears season, right? It's like, yeah, I want the defense to win it, but then I don't, right? I don't want the defense to win it. And I'm not, like, I want the ball in Justin Fields' hand at the end of the game. Yeah. I want to see if he'll make the play against the number one defense that has two safeties out, and can we move the ball down the field? And like you're talking about, Pat, on fourth and one. Like I know that's earlier in the game, but we got to make that play.
Yes.
You decide to keep it. I don't. There's one of the rare it didn't work play calls that I like that Getsy made. Right. I didn't think it was a bad play call. Right. I thought DJ Moore might have even been open, releasing it to the corner route.
That's Mooney again, right? That's Mooney that missed the block, that didn't get his guy.
It's Cameron Mitchell. I mean, you got to keep your feet there, right?
Yes.
You got to keep your feet. You got to go get a first down, like we talk about, Pat and Mully.
Yep.
Listen, Mooney's not going to be here. We talked about that on pregame, right? We talked about that. Yeah. But when you get better, it's not going to be Darnell Mooney as your second wide receiver, right?
Right.
I want Justin Fields to make that play. I'm glad he kept the ball. I'm glad he tried to run it. Now I want him to keep his feet and run for 10, 15, 20 more yards. And I know that's asking a lot, but that's what I want my guy to do. I'm gonna give $40 million a year to if I make that decision to pass on the number one pick of the draft.
Yep.
Oh, God. I mean, I got to tell you, this was like a loss on a loss on a loss, right? Mm-hmm. Because all the things that we talk about, everyone's future and the feel good and the bit of swagger, I mean, how do you retain a coach that opens the season 0-4 that didn't look like he prepared his team to play in the game in the season, and then loses three games in the year where you're ahead and all you got to do is finish, mm-hmm. and you can't get that done. I mean, that's a really bad loss. Another one for Matt Eberflus. And I thought that we had decided that, oh, he's doing so great, and he's got to remain the defensive coordinator and blah, blah, blah. And we don't see a thing out of that offense. There's very little production out of the offense. When you really pick apart how that game went, the Bears' offense benefited from a couple interceptions, one that scored, one that went down on the one-yard line. And that whole sequence, one of the most – I believe there were eight plays, four penalties. The four-play, two-yard drive, I think we could talk about that for the rest of our lives. It was so insane.
Yeah, this is a game, too, guys. The script was rewritten. Like, in the middle of the third quarter, I'm writing in my head, like, oh, my gosh, look how good Eberflus is doing with his defense. They're doing what they're supposed to do against a banged-up offensive line. Just absolutely rattling Joe Flacco, covering the, you know, Amari Cooper. And then everything just changes. And it's just, you know, the offense was what it was. I'm a lot of disappointed with what they did against that Cleveland defense with all the injuries, with Delpit out. Yes, they have a good front seven or front three they had in there, but I don't understand how you can't game plan better to protect Justin Fields or move the ball and gain more yards. It's just, you know, I thought it was going to be a game where, all right, we won ugly, defense dominated, did what they had to do, we'll move on. Again, Pat Eberflus on the back for building his good defense and having a good game plan, but it didn't turn out that way. He couldn't finish in the fourth quarter and the two big plays against him. And, it's something that, you know, we were talking, did Eberflus start changing people's minds to keep his job or not? This is one that swings you right back the other way. It does to me a little bit. Maybe it's just a quick reaction to a tough loss. But, you know, this is three games that should have been won and put away that changes this whole, you know, this whole season too. And it's unfortunate they didn't get it done. But, again, that's just bad resume building on his part.
Yeah, and it's a good point by you and Molly, Pat, because like you're saying, we all went into here because we knew all the questions and we wanted them to answer the questions, right? We said mm-hmm. that on the pregame show. It was an interesting game to watch. Finally, we had one in 3 years, and you wanted to see put all those skeletons out of the way and put them back in the closet and leave them there, right? But they all showed up again, right? They showed up again, yep. And Eberflus late in the game, like you're talking about. You know, Malik brought up the Lions game. You know, the blown coverage, they score yep. fast. Happens again, right? Like, yep. And then we don't get Amari Cooper on the ground, and he scores a touchdown. You just can't believe it. It's 17-17, and next thing you know, gets his calling a toss crack on first down, right? He's calling a toss crack on first down, and they lose 5 yards. Cole Kmet misses the block on the best defensive end in the world, and he makes a big play there. And the next thing you know, it's third and 15. And what do you run on a third and 15? And I don't know. I don't know what you run. So now you get to see Justin Fields work in that situation, mm-hmm. right? I wanted the ball again. If I am Ryan Pose, Molly and Pat, I am pissed off, man. I really am pissed off in one of those sweet boxes that I'm sitting in, because with that play right there, when you get the ball back at that time, and then I see a toss crack. No. Fake the toss crack and boot Justin Fields out of the pocket. I mean, damn it. If they can do it with Joe Flacco, right? If they can fake the toss with Joe Flacco and boot him, why can't we at that moment, right? I want to see my quarterback, Justin Fields, out of the pocket, on the run, making plays. That's what I want mm-hmm. to see. Instead, we got a toss crack to Khalil Herbert, and we lose 5 yards, and now we're behind the sticks. And we all know what this offense does when they're behind the sticks. And the answer is nothing. They don't do nothing.
Right.
I got to tell you, yeah, that is that was just a very that there were so many good moments in that game for the Bears.
Yeah,
there were so many really good moments with that defense. You know, I had a whole thing. I couldn't wait to talk to you guys about Montez Sweat and whether mm-hmm. you know, he blew it by signing a contract as quick as he did, because he's worth more than we thought as you watch him play. And I wanted to ask you if because he played with one of four number one picks on a line, was he underrated when they got him? Because their coaches thought he was like the best guy going, and they make a trade for him. Well, and now, you know, they pay him and the guy's making plays all over, and it just looks the part. And damn if they don't figure out a way to kind of – and you could feel it coming, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Couldn't you feel it building the same way we've seen these teams lose – this team lose earlier in the year? It was really embittering.
And to talk about Montez Sweat, you know, I was thinking the same thing, that, okay, you gave $98 million and he's doing what he's supposed to do. That's why you pay a guy that amount of money. And he had a hell of a game. I'm not saying we lost the game because of him. You just wish they could have closed it with that performance he put on, because he's going against a backup tackle, changing the game, what had three sacks or whatever, you know, just making a big, big impact on this game. And I just kept thinking, that's why you pay a game changer right there. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's going to win this ugly game for us. And unfortunately, the offense and in the fourth quarter with the defense, they couldn't come through at the end. But, you know, he had a hell of a game. And I too, Mully, I could not wait to talk about him and just the impact he has on this team, and it's just unfortunate they couldn't come through with it.
Yeah, and a question they're going to have to answer again, too, is I don't think, guys, and I got to look back on the film, I don't think he was on the field for that touchdown to Amari Cooper. I got to take another look there. Ugh. But like you guys are saying, he is dominating, right? He is dominating. I got to look at James Hudson III, and then Petonio goes out, and some guy named Michael Dunn is in, and Nick Harris. I mean, they are struggling with Billings and Justin Jones there in the middle. And it's just, you're waiting for, we need a play, right? We need one play from somebody to put this game away. Like you guys are saying, when that play wouldn't come, and they just kept hanging around, right? They just, we go for it on a fourth down, and we talked about earlier, and Justin Field gets tackled by Mitchell, right? He gets tackled on the Cleveland 33-yard line. He gets tackled right there, and we don't get that first down. You know, you could say that could put the game away, right? And then they get 3 yards on that drive. There's just so many things happening in that game. Like you're saying, Mully, where you got this feeling like, oh, it's going to be 17-17, right? It's going to be tied. Yep. It's going to be 20-17. And you know, of course, I'm happy because I want to be right about the 24-20 scorecard. I mean, right? I want Justin Fields to lead and score a touchdown. And you know, because but it's just there's 30 seconds left. And then it's Mooney again. It's just over and over again. And it's just too bad, because a lot of the questions were there to be answered. And we just saw more of the same.
It's just beyond
frustrating. It hurts like that.
Yeah. It's just...
Tevin Jenkins goes down again, right? Same story.
Yeah.
More of the same story, right? You know, there's a saying in the NFL, Pat, right? An old saying in our locker room, we should always say, once somebody shows you who they are, believe them.
Right.
It's hard to change, right? It's hard to change. Once a team shows you they lose late in the game, believe them, right? Once a guy shows you he can't play every game, believe them.
And I'm curious, as we look at this, you know, we feel like they've kind of made their decisions, or maybe they felt like they had their answers in line, whatever. This is, you've got to kind of redetermine exactly what you want and how you're going to go and what you're going to do. So I just feel like we had a lot of answers, or seemingly so. And we had a team that was on a roll, and we were talking about making that game in Green Bay. Green Bay's losing. I don't know if they finally lost or not, but I saw earlier they were losing pretty good. It's just such a wasted opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And when you watch it, it's like T.J. Edwards, right? Like, what a game he played.
Oh.
I mean, Mully, they're in the soft coverage everyone talks about, right? Everyone talks about that cover two is a soft coverage. They hit Cedric Tillman in the middle of the field. I think it was a start in the second half. And T.J. Edwards blows him up, right? Blows him up. Tremaine Edmonds, interception. He's all over the field, dropping the hammer on guys. That defense was ferocious most of the game today. I mean, obviously, you know, Justin Jones in coverage versus Njoku, that'll be questioned. But Eberflus is being aggressive. He's throwing that zone blitz, dropping a D tackle out into coverage, and all of a sudden he's, you know, it's Njoku across the field, and Flacco reads it and makes the perfect play to end the game. But there was just so much there when we needed the offense just to make plays, assault the game away. We came out You know, Tyler Scott on like jet sweeps, Velus Jones on toss cracks. That worked. We got a field goal.
Yeah, Tyler Scott. It's just another guy that obviously had a drop during the course of the game. Mm-hmm. And you look at it at the end there. I mean, you know, you got to catch the ball. And I get it. It's a big ask to request someone to be able to step up and get it done in the big moments. But, you know, the ball comes your way. You got to make a play. You got very little choice other than to make the play. And, you know, you look around that receiver room, who do you trust? Who do you trust in that moment? And obviously the answer is DJ Moore, and DJ Moore made some big plays. He looked like he was limping around a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure how good DJ Moore was doing. So it is obviously a difficult one to kind of pick apart and to figure out. But what are you going to do? I think that when I look at this game – and I talk about, you know, you cannot put enough on this game. This was such an important game in their season because guess what? Now they can't have a winning season. And we knew that going in. And they got themselves to a point where you can win the game, and they couldn't figure out a way to close it. So, all right, we're going to get to all of your phone calls. 312-644-6767 is the number. We're going to talk about it. We're going to pick it apart. And we'll let you know when we hear what's going on in the locker room, when we hear what anyone has to say about it. At this point, I don't know if there's anything anyone can say that would make you feel better about where you're at. It is the post-game show, the Great Clips post-game show, presented by Tullamore Dew on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
We're back with more of the Great Clips postgame show. Great Clips is going to be great. Presented by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's telly time. Now here are your hosts, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully from the Mully and Haw Show on Sports Radio, 670 the score.
Oh, indeed, you're listening to the postgame show, which, of course, it's the Great Clips postgame show presented by Tullamore Dew. And if you have any Tullamore Dew, you might want to crack it open and not in a celebratory way. That was just god-awful. And we got a lot of people who want to check in, and we're going to get to the phone lines in just a second. But, guys, I think that, you know, as much as you want to sort of pretend that everything is fine and that wasn't a big deal, you know, it is hard to win in the NFL, as we all know. You can't lose a game like that. You just can't. If you have the advantage, that comes down to coaching, and you got to coach your way out of it, period, end of story.
That's a great point, Mully. I mean, it does come down to coaching, but players got to make plays as well. I mean, it's on both sides. But Luke Getsy in the fourth quarter, I want to go back and read through the play sheet to find out, you know, what calls he was calling at certain points, because you learn all the time, just shorten the game, right? Just learn how to shorten the game. And they had the opportunity to do that, and they allowed him to score 13 points in the fourth quarter, I think with 12:56 to go when they scored, whatever. But just too many points in the fourth quarter should not have been allowed with the way the defense was playing.
Yeah, and even in the first quarter with the rain and the way the elements seemed like they were, right, Pat? You were wondering about the play calling. There didn't seem to be a lot of movement of the pocket. I was a little worried just from the beginning when it was a deep play action pass to start the game. I think it was a DJ Moore. And it's kind of like, no matter what the elements are today, I'm going to call what's on my first 15.
Right.
Right. I'm just going to call. And, you know, Justin Fields comes out with gloves on. And I thought he handled it well in the first half. But especially that touchdown pass he had Cole Kmet on that. You were talking about that. That when they were from the 1 yard line after the interception, Mully was crazy, but then they end up with the touchdown. But it was just, you know, very, very, very frustrating to watch this game today. And for a while it wasn't, right? But you have this feeling because we watch them so much, we know what their identity is, right? We know what is about to happen, that they're going to get to this point of where, okay, we're going to let them back in the game, and then we're not going to make enough plays to win the game. And Mully, to your point, We all know what we're looking at, right? We all know what we're seeing, that they're just not, and Pat said, Molly said coaches, Pat, you said players, there's just not enough in that building, right? That is what we're saying here, right? Lions, right. Denver, we can't put the game away. Here we are again, week 15 against Cleveland that has, I don't know what the guy said, 26 to 30% of their salary cap not playing today, and we can't steal a win.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't even know if they'd have been stealing it, frankly. I mean, they opened the game strong enough. They played well enough to win the game. I just don't know if they know how to win a close game. And I think, Olin, when you said everything you want to see Justin Fields. And all we saw was a repeat of the three and outs. What did they have, 8 or 9 three and outs in that game? Pathetic.
Yeah, that was ugly. And to me, you know, the past 2 weeks here in Chicago, we were all excited, right? We felt like they were turning the corner. They beat Minnesota and come from behind. They put away Detroit, win by 15, don't let them back in the game. So I felt like during the first three quarters, I'm like, all right, they got this. They're going to do this in the fourth quarter. They're turning the corner as a team. They're learning how to finish. They're learning how to, you know, become this young group is learning how to win. It did feel weird that it started to slip back into my mind that they're going to let him come back. This is going to be a Browns win. This is going to happen. And it did. And I thought for those 2 weeks, I started to feel a little bit different. Like maybe this young team was learning how to win and learning how to close a game. And it's just unfortunate they couldn't do it. They had the opportunities at the very end. Poor Darnell Mooney, that's going to crush him, right? I mean, that thing's in his pocket, and he should have won the game with that. But that would have been a different story to talk about. We just said, all right, a win's a win. They stole one there at the end, but it's just too bad this young team has not learned how to win consistently yet.
Yeah, and as far as the offense goes, we talked about going into the game what they look like against defenses like the Todd Bowles defense, Tampa Bay, the Flores defense for Minnesota, because we talk about them getting that win against Minnesota, but the score was 12-10, right? It wasn't like the offense had a good showing there. The Tampa Bay, we talked about when they go against Spagnuolo. We talked about when they go against a defense with an aggressive, good coordinator, a good secondary, how the offense can't move the ball, can't get points, can't get in the end zone, and you want to see if they made those adjustments going against this kind of the number one defense in the NFL. And obviously the answer ends up being no, right? I mean, they did not do enough. They did not help the defense put the game away. Obviously, no one can argue that the defense, even though they give that big play, they give you a winning effort. Right, I mean, if they put you on a 1 yard line and score a touchdown, that's pretty damn good, right? That's a good performance by Davis. Montez Sweat did exactly what you need him to do against the fourth to fifth tackle they had out there. So just watching that game, and like you guys are saying, you feel comfortable watching it when it's 17-7, but then you don't see them get the fourth down, and then you don't see them, and then you see the Browns get a field goal, and then they go three and out, right? And you're just like, oh man. That big pass play where someone makes a mistake and we miss a few tackles is coming.
Yeah, and it did, I mean, basically, the offense basically only scored 3 points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They gave them on the 1 yard line. It took them 18 plays to get in. I mean, to me, that sums up how bad this offense was today. And Olin, you nailed it, man. You said, I want to see how this offense does, and Luke Getsy and Justin Fields does against an aggressive style of defense, and they folded again. They could not get it done. I mean, that's 3 points they put up. Yes, that's a great throw that Fields had in the corner of the end zone to commit. Mm-hmm. Athletic as heck, and you know, I was like, okay, that's a check the box thing, right? When you're evaluating Justin Fields, it was pretty impressive, but the other stuff before that was a bunch of blech. You know what I mean? It was awful. I mean, it was just awful.
Yeah. All right, let's, in a run game. Yep. Oh, go ahead, Molly. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, let's get to the phone lines. But make your Sounds point, right. Please.
No, I was just going to say the run game was not good enough today, right?
No,
the offensive line got beat up on the inside, and especially when Tevin Jenkins went out, they really struggled inside there against Dalvin Tomlinson and the inside of the Cleveland Browns defense with that get up the field action, that penetration. I thought they should have went to gap scheme a little bit more, but just not good enough there to give them a little bit of room there on offense.
Nate Davis, that's two games running, I think, where he's kind of struggled. A little bit.
Yes.
This game was different as far as it goes, where it was the run, which is his bread and butter, right? Well, that's where you start to worry. Like against the Lions, you know, he was never really known for his pass pro. So when they line Aiden Hutchinson on them, even though he's got to make that play, I'm not shocked he gets beat. Today, I was a little bit shocked on short yardage and run situations, the penetration he was giving up.
All right, let's try Chris. Chris is in Evanston. Hi, Chris. Good morning or good afternoon.
What's going on, guys? You know, it seems like no matter what happens, for 3 years now, like you said, Olin, let's call it what it is. When someone shows you who they are, let's call them what they are. I'm tired of the excuses. I say it week after week. Oh, if the defense would have got four turnovers instead of three. Oh, if the coach would have called every single play right instead of guessing wrong. And the fourth down's not converted. And they should have kicked the field goal instead of going for it. Whatever it is, the biggest problem on this team is the quarterback. A-plus number one. Like you just said, we finally got to the point. The defense basically scored all your points today. A couple weeks ago, they got him four interceptions. And he got four field goals. But we're debating whether we have a franchise quarterback. All right, fire everybody and pay the guy. No, pay him $50 million because his price is going to go up. Because every week, oh, he's playing better. Oh, he's playing. No, he's done. He's very consistent in one thing, not being consistent at playing quarterback.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
You know, I think what's interesting about all of it is that he needs the play to break down to be at his best. And you think about that short yardage, that ridiculous short yardage sequence, that touchdown was spectacular. And that was great. And that was him, you know, the play breaks down and off he goes. And, you know, the fact that he can make that play is really special. The problem is that you can't make other plays, that you're not making kind of the obvious just the in-time, on-time play.
The game manager plays?
Yes. I know that sounds horrible, but if you're going to talk about winning via a complimentary football, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, and you want it all, right? If you're going to pay the young man 20, 40, whatever, the millions of dollars,
yes,
you want to see it all. And, Olin, you made the point earlier with Getsy later in the game, that's when he is his best, when he's on the move. And when plays break down, he's on the move, and that's his strength of his game. And why are you not doing that and putting the ball in Justin Fields' hands at the end of the game that way, knowing that's how he thrives? You've tried to force feed him to us in the pocket, you know, and doing that, it just does not work. And I'm just shocked that Getsy didn't do more of that at the end of the game and saying, okay, you win it with your arm or your legs. It's your turn. Let's go. And he didn't give it to him.
Yeah, and to Chris's point, right, like, yes, Justin Fields, we can all see the problems he has and the things he needs to work on, throwing the ball from the pocket, processing information, getting the ball out. He is playing better. He has improved. The ball did come out quicker sometimes today. But has he improved to the point of, you know, what people keep forgetting is that the question is not all that. The question is, has he improved to the point of where you don't take a quarterback first in the draft, right? Because you have that, you know, one or two pick. Now, listen, guys, all the talk this week, right? All the talk this week about Justin Fields returning. I think I heard Mully call on the radio to the scene of the crime. Like, you know, really, like, that is what happened. His first start in Cleveland, right? And he was in the pocket and he was getting hit. And this, we went on and on with this. And what did you learn? And Justin Fields is doing a press conference on what he learned. And he learned he got sacked. We heard him say that. And Getsy's answering those questions. First play of the game, it's shotgun. It's fake run. It's seven-step drop. Take a shot. Darnell Wright gets beat by Za'Darius Smith, and guess who gets hit standing in the pocket?
Yeah.
Justin Fields.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. Someone has to explain that to me if I'm running the Bears.
Yep.
Right. Someone has to explain to me why that play, when I got to the stadium and it was raining and the field was wet, and this is what happened to this guy here when his first time back in Ohio, and all the things we went through this week. And I'm not taking the blame off of Justin Fields. But someone needs to explain to me why that was the play call.
And you know, the other thing is, there was a sequence there. There was a certain stretch of the game where he was knocking. He was hitting every pass. I mean, he was really throwing the ball well, and he wasn't getting catches on some of it for whatever reason. And I'm not, you know, blaming everyone, but he looked like he really had his game going.
Yeah, he was rolling early. Yep, he sure was.
Well, and I wonder if how many of those hits got to him. All right, we will be right back. We're going to get to your phone calls. We're going to talk it through. It's a little bit depressing that you know you're now guaranteed of a losing season. And I don't know that this game was the determining factor. Certainly the first four games of the year pretty much put you in a hole when there were games you could have won. But it changes the outcome of the season. That's for damn sure. 312-644-6767. We will be right back on the Great Clips post-game show presented by Tullamore Dew.